Hey, yo.
This is the Hair of the Blog presents the Rabbit Hole Podcast. This is Kevin, at Kevin K. Diddy, is how you can find me on social media. With me as always is Bobby, at rhinson817, is how you can find him on social media. And follow both of us, and also follow at Hair of the Blog on all social media. Thursday, May 14th. It is another beautiful, beautiful Thursday.
I think we might slowly be getting there.
I guess so, right? Mm-hmm. I don't think there's going to be any more random snowstorms or super, you know, windy, cold weather, I guess, coming these days, huh?
Cross fingers, I don't think so. So, I think it's supposed to get into the 80s tomorrow, high 70s on Saturday, 60s or so on Sunday. Maybe a little rain, but not bad.
As great news that is, it's also like, okay, like everybody said, like, you're not going to keep people in the house. And, you know, we've talked about this over and over again. It's like, there's going to be some people outside.
I can hear people outside right now.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. There's definitely people. Like, I walk around the downtown area of where I am, and you know, there's definitely a couple more people out than you noticed a few weeks ago, you know. Mm-hmm. So I get it, you know. Everybody's wearing a mask, so I guess that's okay. You know what I mean? I guess that's like, all right, well, look, if you're gonna do it this way.
It's a start,
you know,
for sure.
You know, obviously, you know. Almost another week down in this pandemic story.
Mm-hmm.
We're getting there. It's frustrating.
Little by little.
It's frustrating, but, you know, we're getting there. And, you know, I feel like, obviously, the warm weather was, like, you know, one of the tests of, like, are things going to slowly, you know, is the rate of people getting infected going to go up? With this whole mm-hmm. COVID-19, and I feel like it's not spiking. I feel like it's still kind of like staying level. So I guess that's good.
Well, I think the curve is flattened for sure. You know, based on all the metrics that I've seen, it seems like we're doing the right things in terms of the social distancing, in terms of wearing the masks, staying in as much as possible, stuff like that. The problem is right now it's plateaued. It hasn't necessarily gone away. And I think it'll be a while before that happens. I know just because I'm in a work truck still 5 days a week, it listening to a lot of sports talk radio, it sounds like sports teams are slowly starting to come around to figuring out ways to possibly get some sports on again. I know we had UFC yesterday, actually, and then we had it last Saturday. I think we have another one this Saturday.
Yeah.
So you'll actually be very proud of me. I have not laid out $1 for any of those bets because I know so little about UFC that it just, I may as well just take money and either throw it at a dartboard or, you know, just throw it out my window or, you know, burn it. So.
Well, I am proud of you.
Thank you.
I mean,
thank you.
Because just because you don't know something about the sport doesn't necessarily mean that you would bet on it.
No. Maybe this is the more this is the more passive quarantined me, because when this first happened, then I was like, all right, well, I'm not going to spend my money on any other dumb shit. Hey, Arkansas Derby. Come on, Bob Baffert's horse.
Right.
Which is about the only name I know in, like, you know, in horse racing or whatever. And then little by little, it's like, eh. As cool as saying I've bet the KBL, KBO is, I haven't bet the KBO. Like, I'm not awake at that time. I'm slowly waking up when those games are, like, on, but let's go Lions, let's go Dragons, let's go whatever names they have for teams in South Korea.
The Dunsun Bears.
Yes.
The Dunsun Bears, yes.
I know there's a team that has two mascots, Vic and Dory, so when you put it together, it should come out to victory.
Yes.
So that's a bet, you know what I mean?
Yes.
So, yeah, but slowly but surely, man, I'm thinking things are slowly starting to come out. I know I sent you in a group chat with Chuck, at Chuck with the hashtag
of Chuck at Instagram.
Yes, sir.
At Chuck with the S.
Mm-hmm. That, you know, the beaches are slowly starting to reopen in Jersey. It'll be very interesting to see how well they're patrolled. Just talking to different law enforcement friends of mine and ours, respectively.
Right.
It's going to be a tough thing to do, and there's going to have to be a lot of implied trust in the sense that people aren't going to go out and act a fool. They're still going to abide by a lot of the things that the CDC is telling us to do, and hopefully from there, you know what, man? Let's get the beaches open. You know, let's do the right thing so we can keep them open, so we can get the boardwalk back. Maybe we won't be able to do it Memorial Day weekend, and that's completely fine. But yes, I would like to have a cigar with you and Chuck down the shore. You know what I mean? Like, I was talking to KDO via some form of text messaging, and she was like, "Man, I want to go back to Atlantic City." Like, even us talking to Brett today in group chat, was like, "Man, I want to go to freaking Atlantic City." Like,
well,
I want to be by a pool.
People are getting to a point now where now they're like, they're fiending.
Mm-hmm.
Jodeci style. They're fiending right now.
Yeah.
And they're like, oh my God, all I want to do is go to the beach. Go to Lake City.
No, absolutely. Yeah.
Go on vacation. Go, you know, anywhere but just staying home. It's like, I'll go anywhere.
Right.
You know? Yeah. I mean, that's, excuse me, that's the feeling that everybody, I believe, ultimately has. I feel like there's not really, I'm sure there are people out there that do feel this way. I feel like there isn't one person out there that's like, you know what, I'm okay with just staying in. You know what I mean? I think at this point, I feel like everybody to some extent is like, yo, I want to go somewhere. And I want to have like a good time. I want to go on an excursion and have fun and hang out with my friends and family and just, you know, do the thing.
It's summertime, man. Every now and again, we get those little teases of summertime, too, where it's like adventures, shenanigans, drinking with all of your friends until the sun comes up and driving home or Ubering home now responsibly, you know, as the sun's coming back up, like, all of those types of things. And there's a part of me that says, I almost kind of want to let people do it once, get it out of their system, hopefully, and then kind of go back to some gradual progression back into like normalcy or whatever the new normal is, rather than just being like, all right, everyone rage, everyone keep raging. Like, not for nothing, like, I'm 40. I know you still can, because you just are younger than me in some way outside of like actual physical birthday, but I'm like, I just got tired thinking about raging. You know what I mean? Like, yeah, let's do it once. Yeah, let's go do a freaking blowout in Atlantic City. Or, you know, let's just go drink till 5 o'clock in the morning in a rooftop bar in New York City or something like that. And then I think I'm going to come home and sleep for a weekend. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I know what you're saying.
Mm-hmm.
And when that day finally comes and we're able to go to, you know, Atlantic City, hell, Vegas, somewhere.
Yeah.
And we could just party. It's going to be awesome.
Mm-hmm.
It's going to be legendary.
Yeah. It's going to be necessary.
that is also very true.
You know, I do. I feel like we've done a good job, and I don't feel like the fight's over by any stretch of the imagination. I feel like there's still a lot more that needs to be done. Like, I was talking to Chuck via Zoom yesterday, so I don't think I sent the article to you, but NJ.com did an article with Borgata down in Atlantic City about how they plan to reopen.
I got an email from them.
Did you? Okay.
I got an email from them, and I got an email from Caesars.
I get emails from Caesars all the time still being like, We're coming back.
Yeah.
Don't forget about us. Yeah. I know we sold off the majority of the properties that you liked and you could stay at and that you got comps at, but we're still here.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
Did you read the email? Did you read their proposal rollout?
I essentially just skimmed it. Because pretty much the gist of the email is just like, look, like we're doing everything we can to open up and be safe as possible, and we're gonna have this like step by step process on how we're gonna, you know, keep our properties clean, make sure you're safe. Yeah, I mean that was the gist of the email. I was like, okay, I got it. I was like, I'm not coming down there anytime soon. Thank you, thank you for sending me this. But I'm like, yeah, I'm not coming down there anytime soon. I was like. No. You know what I mean? Like, look, I love to gamble, but if I gotta sit at a table with a PPE mask on, I think I'm out.
Right. Yeah. Well, they're talking about plexiglass being part of this. Like, I don't know. Are you putting plexiglass between each person at a blackjack?
Let me tell you something. Plexiglass is having the best year ever because everything
that and toilet paper.
Everything is just. Plexiglass, It's like, that's plexiglass. Who bought? You know what? You should have bought stock in two things before this year started: Zoom and plexiglass. Because I feel like those are the two things that are just running away with the money right now. You know, but I mean, it's smart. I mean, the plexiglass thing makes sense. You see it now, even if you go out and you go to certain restaurants, they have like a plexiglass shield, you know, depending on what restaurants you go to, it's there.
Sure.
You know, or it's like just saran wrap plastic bag material that's just like, you know, just draped over the counters. But if you got the flow, you're putting plexiglass up.
Oh yeah. It's like tinting your own windows using that transparent tarp or whatever it is they're putting over like 7-Elevens other places. You want the nice stuff? You go to Whole Foods, you go to King's, you go to some of the nicer supermarkets or whatever. Yeah, they got that good plexiglass.
Oh yeah. They're gonna start putting graffiti on the plexiglass and everything like that. They're gonna start designing, putting logos and, you know, sponsorship. Like, plexiglass is killing it right now. They're killing it.
Home Depot sponsored plexiglass.
Yeah, you know what I mean? You're gonna see a friggin', you know, Uber logo, a friggin' McDonald's logo. Like, you're gonna start, they're killing it right now. Plexiglass. You know, I'm telling you. Obviously, and I've seen a lot of this stuff because, you know, like doing deliveries. So you notice like the setups that some places have. And then there are some places that the setup is exactly the same. They didn't do anything. Like, we're good. We're clean. You know, three people can come in and that's it. You know, make sure you got your mask on.
Okay.
You know what I mean? So there's some places where they just, it's just nobody's in here. And you know, they make, you know, they get all the tables and chairs in the restaurant and pretty much make like a wall. That's like, you can't come any further.
Right.
You know, but, you know, everybody's doing what they can to, you know, quote unquote, flatten the curve, even though I feel like it has flattened to an extent.
Mm-hmm.
And obviously with everything going on with the pandemic, you know, a couple things that I noticed and came across. Obviously, everybody's watching more TV. They're, you know, staying in, binge watching TV shows, movies, you name it. Movies that would be out in theaters are going straight to on demand.
Mm-hmm.
Trolls World Tour apparently like broke like, you know, record numbers in terms of sales for a movie of that type of that magnitude. And just with all that being said, you know, like that's the way we are now going to consume, you know, the majority of our entertainment is just staying in, watching it at home.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Do
you think that also means streaming services are up too by a lot?
I have to imagine. Yeah. I have to imagine so. I don't have any numbers in front of me, but I have to imagine. Yeah, because I think I remember seeing something early on that was like Netflix went up, like in terms of like, you know, users and streamers and things like that. on how, you know, Netflix numbers are up. I have to imagine Hulu's numbers are up. And, you know, any other streaming service, Amazon, I'm sure they're all up. But I believe Netflix is the one that is the one that stands out, because obviously I feel like everybody has Netflix, you know?
Yeah. Well, or their friend's password and login information.
Well, I mean, the thing about it too is, what's interesting is that as you know, in terms of, I'm looking at like an article right now, just to kind of get an idea. Let's see. All right. 15.8 million subscribers signed up for Netflix. More than double the 7 million the company had told investors to expect prior to the COVID-19 pandemic. So that 15.8 is really like 32 million. You know what I mean? I was just like, because everybody's like, yo, what's your Netflix? I'm not condoning it. I'm just saying. I understand.
No.
You know? I'm not going to throw stones if I live in a glass house. But understand, you know, like, it is what it is.
Sure.
So, I mean, projected to be at 7 million, and they virtually, you know, they more than doubled it. And that was as of, like, you know, probably at the, you know, at the beginnings of all this. So who's to say that, you know, maybe you have newer people jumping on being like, you know what, I'm gonna get Netflix, or I'm gonna, you know, who's to say that, you know, there are people that are late to the party that jump on.
Yeah, I mean, not for nothing, until you started making me watch that god awful show, which I did finish and watch the reunion.
You watched the reunion. Now, can I tell you something?
Yes. Of course.
Switching gears here, because obviously we're talking about TV and Netflix. I had Bobby watch Too Hot to Handle on Netflix, and I will tell you this: the you know, the student has now become the master. I didn't watch the reunion special.
No, you didn't miss.
I mean, the one thing that I heard, that the big spoiler, I guess, of that was, you know, the two characters, the two pretty much it was the Harry and Francesca show for, you know, for a good chunk of that series, and they got engaged.
Yes. I'm going to go over, under, it doesn't make it to the actual ceremony.
Wow.
I personally just don't believe it. Like, I don't.
So what did you think? We're on back a little bit. So, Bobby, you were like an episode away from the regular finale. Mm-hmm. So now you saw, now you've watched the entire thing. So now you saw the twist at the end. You saw like how they were able to, sorry if anybody hasn't watched the show yet, some spoilers are coming up. So maybe you might want to fast forward this little section.
Just consider it sports. You're fine.
And they had a chance to get the money back that they lost. And they did.
Yeah, I'm not buying it. I'm not buying that they actually did. Like, I don't know why there's a part that just says, like, they just I don't know. Like, they took it down to, like, literally zero. And how anticlimactic would it be if they walked out of that show? Like, yeah, nobody gets anything. Sorry. Like, fuck all of you. Because not for nothing, you can't tell me Big Titty Francesca is not going to run around there with her titties all out, and you're not going to do something with that? Like, there has to be a come-to-Jesus moment with the producers where it's like, look, man, like, we have a situation. Yeah. There are things that are going to happen now. Like, look at this.
I mean,
you're not going to do something with this? Stop. Just give me, like, here's $70,000. Like, just, I'm smashing this. Tonight.
Well, I mean, the other thing on the flip side is that, I mean, yes, they got their money back at the end of the show. If I knew that there was an opportunity to do that, then you know what? You would have been off to the races anyway. So, you know, like...
But they didn't get all their money back. They only got back like $30,000.
Well, the reason that they didn't get the other money back was because of the other people that did something. The people that did the most damage had the chance to win the money back.
So it was just their money they won back.
Right.
Not the other stuff that the other people did. Oh.
So, like, when Francesca kissed that girl Haley, they didn't get that.
Yeah.
When you know, what's his name? You know, I forgot that.
When he played her gambles on another region.
They didn't get that money back. It was all the money that Francesca and Harry lost. They got back. Which is why it wasn't like the perfect $100,000. It was in like the $70,000 range.
And not for nothing, too, they kicked two people out again, too, to make the numbers easier. So that way then there's $75,000 and everyone got $7,500 because it was 10 people. So all of those new people that they had were really just because the other ones were kind of fizzling out. So, you know, but it still ended at 10 people.
Yeah. Yeah, let's see.
So, I mean, here's the thing. Bottom line is for me. At the end of the day, for me, if I really enjoyed this show that deeply, it would not have taken me till today to watch the finale. I would have watched it like pretty much the moment we got off this podcast. I'm like, all right. And then you're going to get an alert being like, you know, Robert Hansen has access to your Netflix. Is this okay? You know what I mean? So it was okay. It wasn't something that I would say like, oh yeah, man, like I'm going to watch this if the second season comes out. Like I won't. Here's the thing. From the reunion show, by the way, not that Chloe wasn't a smoke show already, but she's a lot prettier.
No, she's always pretty.
You know,
she's got she's got 1 million followers on Instagram now because of the show. She had followers, but like hers went up like to the 1 million status. Everybody else's is in like maybe like 500,000, 300,000, depending on. She's the first girl you saw. You know.
Well, not for nothing. They've done TikToks based off of her.
I believe it.
Like basically with her. I think it was on Twitter or something else, but someone posted something, and it was the dialogue when I guess she got all dressed up for Corey. Corey went out with Francesca instead of her, and she ended up calling Francesca a twat. There's actually a TikTok with that dubbed over. Yeah, I know that. That's right. I use TikTok, too hot to handle, in the same sentence.
Who are you? Who am I talking to right now?
Quarantine Bobby. It's like a mix of like Fun Bobby and like Bobby from the Hills, but like he just doesn't go outside.
I mean, thank you for you know watching the show because
oh dude it was a fun watch. It's mindless.
Oh, absolutely. You know what it's like.
I just want
it's like book club, you know, to some extent. It's the mm-hmm. we're gonna read this book together and then we're gonna have discussions about what we read.
That's hilarious. You know? That is hilarious. That is our version of book club.
Like
some people are legitimately getting together on Zoom, having like chamomile tea and being like, talking so, what did you
go?
Yeah, what did you think of Moby Dick, like The Next Generation or something like weird or like, you know, just some like random book that I've never heard of.
Some book that like changes somebody's life. You know, just life changing like content. There's like, you know what? I'm gonna go, you know, find my long lost like relatives or like, you know, people he's like, you know what I'm gonna do? I'm gonna go, you know, travel around the world. You know, after reading some of these books. Yeah. Meanwhile,
I'm gonna backpack from Spain.
I'm gonna learn German.
And then there's me and you. So like, hey, so did you hear Chloe call Francesca?
Yeah, no, right? It's like yes. I was like, Chloe's hot, but she ain't got no ass though, right? You know, like that's the conversation.
Yo, speaking of which, there were a couple of them there. I was like, where were you hiding? What was it? The one chick who came in late, Madison.
Oh, the blonde.
Her name was?
Yeah. Oh yeah, no, yeah. She has what, you know, some would say a healthy backyard. I saw that and she was hiding it too because every time I felt like she always had like a shirt tied around her waist or something like that. She always has something tied around her waist where you didn't see it.
I see, yeah, but I see why though. Like, you don't walk out of the house with a rocket launcher, like, you hide that shit. That is legitimately a WMD.
I saw that because like one day it's just like they, but the thing is, they didn't focus on it. There's a couple things that this show did. There's a couple things this show didn't focus on. Is Madison's ass and them eating food. I was like, I never saw them eat.
I saw them eat chocolate.
If it wasn't something in a sexual way, if they were like, hey guys, we're gonna have family dinner. Like Jersey Shore always does that. Hey, we're gonna sit down and have family dinner or something like that. You didn't see that at all. It was just flat out like, you know,
it's just chocolate covered strawberries and zucchini. Yeah. Like, that's the only thing you had to eat.
And then, like, half the time, I feel like they never even gave the guys clothes. The guys, pretty much the entire show, were walking around with no shirts on.
Yeah.
Except for, like, I guess their quote unquote deliberation, you know? Other than that, that was the only time you saw him wearing clothes. Other than that,
which is hilarious because the girls all brought like formal.
Yeah.
They're like, oh, what prom dress am I going to wear today?
Yeah,
oh, I can't wear pants.
Yeah, right. And meanwhile, the guys are just wearing like ripped denim mm-hmm. Jeans and flip flops and just button up shirts, but not like formal button up shirts. They're like I'm gonna go hang out on the beach.
I'm going to
the flowy it's a button up shirt that you don't even button up like. You let like maybe like 3 or 4 buttons loose, and you just kind of showed.
No, if you're buttoned up from the bottom, you have 2, and then you're tired.
Then that's it.
So, yep. No, again, at the end of the day, like I joke, but like I watched the whole thing. I was engaged with the whole thing. Like we've had probably between the last 4 podcasts and Instagram lives, like we probably had like 6 hours of like actual talk time of content based upon this stupid ass show, and like not for nothing. Again, not that I would ever say that I would be skeptical of you again. You give me the next one, I'm going to watch it just the same as I watched this one, just the same as I've watched every single thing you've ever given me to watch. So we get the next one. Hopefully there'll come a point in time where we can watch it together and then do a podcast.
Here's what I'm hoping is that for everything that like I'm like, Bob, you got to check this out. Go somewhere down mm-hmm. the line. It's gonna come up. It's gonna become useful to you. I don't know when. I don't know when it's gonna come up. I don't know if it's gonna be a Jeopardy question. I don't know if it's gonna be a scenario where like a Whose Line Is It? Who Wants to Be a Millionaire? I don't know if it's gonna be one of these things. And it's gonna come up in a scenario like that. And you're gonna thank me. And I'm gonna want 10%.
Oh, please, you know, no matter what, like. If high tide raises all shit, you're getting paid.
I mean, right. Well, yeah. Stop. But I mean, it's going to be like I want the dream scenario to be like, Who Wants to Be a Millionaire? $1 million question.
Final question.
Win $1 million. And, right.
Like Corey with a K.
Yeah. And it's just going to be, that super dramatic music that they play and the lights go down and everything like that. And it's like $1 million.
It just got really tiresome. That got really old.
Oh, like the dramatic music and the lights.
It was a 43 minute episode. I'm trying to squeeze it in before I start making myself dinner, and I'm like, yo, this could have been a 24 minute episode if you just cut to the fucking chase.
Well, I mean, that's they build the drama. That's what TV shows.
Yeah, but they
are.
Built that drama. Yeah, but it was like satire. It wasn't like build the drama. It was like build the drama. Stop. Build the drama more. Stop. Play dramatic music. Go to the bathroom. Yeah. Come back. All right, and now we'll let you know that you all won the same amount of money.
It'd be like this girl called another girl. It was like on the TV. It would be like on the TV show, on the Netflix TV show, Too Hot to Handle. This young lady called another young lady, and they won't say because it it's ABC. A female curse word that starts with a T. Who was that girl? Just like dramatic music.
Oh my god, I will absolutely butt. I cannot wait. Like I will break my buzzer. Like hold her twat.
That's the dream mm-hmm. sequence. And then the confetti falls out. It's gonna be great. I don't know when it's happening, but it's happening.
We'll get there. You know what? I might even phone a friend just to do like the guy did who won the. I think it was the first.
No, I know who you're talking about. I think it was another guy. The first guy that won. I think he just like somehow miraculously just won. And then there was another mm-hmm. guy who called his friend because he knew the answer. He already knew. He was like, "I'm just calling to tell you that I won $1 million.
I won $1 million. Yeah.
But.
Yeah, that's what I will do, and you will freak out, and I will still give you 10%.
Yeah, you'll be the fourth guy I know to win a millionaire. You have the guy that like won it the first time, like that first guy, whatever his mm-hmm. name is, and then you got the guy who called his buddy, who was like, mm-hmm. "Hey, I'm about to win $1 million," and then you got Slumdog, who won the $1 million.
Yeah,
you got Slumdog Billionaire, and then mm-hmm. we'll have Bobby Hanson. He'll be number four. That's the Mount Rushmore right there.
I'm perfectly okay. I am perfectly okay
That's
with that.
That's Mount Rushmore.
His face was meant to be just emboldened in the side of a mountain in stone.
You know what I mean? That's what we're gonna do. You know? Well, the next TV show or thing that I'm gonna have you watch, or you know, we'll talk about. Mm-hmm. I haven't picked it yet. Okay. You know, this was the thing that I felt like everybody was talking about. There was a lot of buzz about it, so I was like, "Yo, I'm watching it, and you know, the girl's pretty hot. You should check it out." So
Well, it's funny because it was on. Like, I don't know if you're actually. I think you're in the same Facebook group, but like for the show you guys listen to on the radio, Cupino and Rich. Yeah. Rich brought it up, and then like literally 2 days later, me and you're doing a podcast, and you have to watch this fucking show. And like all he did was be like, "This is the most mindless, horrible thing ever," and I watched it all in one day.
I mean,
because of quarantine.
Yeah. Well, I mean, you know, there's a lot of with Covino and Rich show, and obviously we're friends of theirs and everything like that. There's a lot of things. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of things that they like that I too also like that I'm like, oh, you know, it's like they put their stamp of approval on it, so I'll check it out. You know. And I was like, okay. I'll give it a shot and, you know, watch it. And, you know, and sometimes it's like, you know what? Can't get through it. And then other times I'm like, yeah, I did get through it, but it was rough, you know, shout out Computer Rich, but obviously mm-hmm. with, you know, all the other, you know, the TV streaming, everything like that, the musical Hamilton, you showed me this on Twitter is mm-hmm. gonna, it's coming to Disney Plus.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, yep. One,
and I can pay you back for you leaving your login and password in a place where I could find it.
But I thought you had Disney Plus.
I do. That's what I'm saying. I can pay it back.
Oh yeah, there you go. So mm-hmm. it's the play's phenomenal. Like seeing it in person, and when I saw it, I didn't see it with the original cast. I saw it with the second, you know, crew of people. Still phenomenal. It was still phenomenal.
Sure.
Live. It's one of those things where it's like, if you're able to go see it, and mind you, I've never gone to a play before. That was my first Broadway play.
That sucks.
This is like when I went to Vegas and then went to AC, like, you know, right after. You know?
Oh yeah, like you got to start on Varsity on Friday Night Lights, and then all of a sudden it was like, oh, by the way, you're playing Monday at 3. Like, wait, what?
Yeah, I mean,
mm-hmm.
Yeah, no, that's the only downfall of all this is I'm not a Broadway show person. I understand that there is a group out there that enjoys those. Like, that's mm-hmm. the way they enjoy like entertainment. You know, I like a good movie. I'll go to a comedy show,
sure.
You know, whatever have you. Mm-hmm. Broadway show for me was never on my radar except for Hamilton. That was the one where I was like, you gotta see it. Because it was like...
What was it?
Go ahead.
What was it? Like, what was it about it that you were like, you know what?
Well,
okay.
First off, number one,
go, yeah.
the tickets were a gift. I didn't...
So someone else stood out in line for a month waiting for
supposedly.
Those tickets.
I don't know if they did or not. I don't know if they just ordered them online.
Now that's awesome. Speaking of which, and then we'll get right back to what you were saying. There was a service about 3 years ago that actually a guy did that. He would get paid $25 an hour to stand online.
Okay.
And one of the biggest thing, and one of his biggest requests was Hamilton tickets. And this was about 2 or 3 years ago.
Anyway, oh yeah, continue. No, because Hamilton, you know, was one of the mm-hmm. most, if not the most popular play in, you know, maybe about, I'd say now probably maybe about like three years ago.
Easily, yeah. I'd say it's probably had a pretty unprecedented three or four or five year run probably.
So the thing was that I always heard how good, how phenomenal of a play it was. But then the thing that I heard mm-hmm. about it was like, yeah, but they rap. And I'm like, well, what do you mean they rap? I was like, yeah, it's a Broadway show, but like everything
okay.
through Hamilton, the majority of the music, because first off, the set, mm-hmm. when you watch it, the set, they have like a couple of pieces, but pretty much mm-hmm. they you know, they do their dance moves, their singing routine, and as they're doing it, they are moving the pieces of the set as they're doing it to set up for the next scene.
Mm-hmm.
but they're also incorporating rap music. There's right. traditional like ballad singing that they put in there, but there's also rap music, a lot of it. So the fact that I'm like, well, wait a minute, let me get this straight. One of the most popular plays on Broadway is is obviously about Alexander Hamilton, which one, it's like I knew nothing about, you know what I mean, besides the fact that he's on the $10 bill. And I was like, well, is he a president? He's like, no. And I was like, oh, okay, he's another one. Huh? Him and Ben Franklin. You call them like dead presidents, but whatever. That's another story for another day. So, you know, besides him being on a $10 bill, and I know that he got shot by Aaron Burr, that's about all I knew about. You know? So obviously this whole thing is the story of, you know, pretty much, I guess, his rise and fall, you know, in, you know, the he worked for the Treasury, the United States Treasury. So you hear that whole thing, and, you know, he has a, he cheats on his wife, they bring that up into it. It's a whole thing, but it's all done through, pretty much through, like, rap and hip-hop.
Crazy. Yeah. Okay.
I mean, honestly, like, the soundtrack's on Spotify. They have the Hamilton mixtape, so like there's a bunch of like artists, you know, like popular artists that are you know, do remixes of all the songs from the play. The mixtape is good. I like just the original soundtrack better. I just like the way it originally sounds. The remixes, they're nice. They're like, you know what I mean? Like, oh, it's cool that they did that, but I'm like, you know what? I'd rather just listen to the regular the regular soundtrack, you know. But I mean, that's my take. There's only one gripe that I have with Hamilton the musical, and it's gonna be on Disney Plus. It's gonna be on Disney Plus on July 3rd.
Why not do it on July 4th?
Yeah.
My thinking is because no one's gonna be home. No one will be home to watch it.
People are gonna be home July 3rd.
Put this way, if it comes out and they say, hey, look, you know what? Like, we understand you're going to go out. We understand you're going to do this, that, or the next thing. Whatever. Are you going to blow your load July 3rd, or are you going to wait for July 4th and really kind of knock it out of the park?
I mean, listen,
that's my assumption. I don't know.
Why? You know, it's like, oh, you know, more people, you might be able to get more eyes to see it July 3rd than on July 4th. July 3rd falls on a Friday. July 4th falls on a Saturday this year, I believe.
Okay. Now, also thinking with that as well, what time is it premiering? Is it premiering 7, 8 o'clock at night when people are going to go see fireworks, or they're going to watch the Macy's Day Parade, they passed out drunk because they were drinking out in the sun all day? My assumption is just because there's potentially more eyes on it. Because yes, in theory, July 4th would make all the sense in the world. Almost too much sense.
I mean... I understand. Like, that's one of those things where it's like, why didn't college July 4th? You know what I mean? I'm like, it's about like U.S. history and this, that, and the other thing. And you come out the day before Independence Day. I'm like, really?
It's like the movie Independence Day coming out on July 3rd.
Now listen, it wants to come out July 3rd at midnight when it technically goes to July 4th. All right, I'm with that. A little midnight viewing. You know, it's just something that I was like that. You know, it's a little bit of a head scratcher. I understand, I guess, on paper.
I agree with you.
I guess on paper, it's like, yeah, you might have more of a shot of people seeing it July 3rd than on July 4th, because July 3rd is a Friday, and if people are still working, they get done, and then maybe they come home, they make dinner, and then they'll say, hey, let's watch Hamilton the musical. They may not do that on July 4th with everything, you know, that a regular July 4th entails. Now, this year might be a little different.
Well, let me ask you this, too. With the rumors going around too that baseball is going to start July 4th, again, I don't know necessarily that's going to happen. It seems actually more now than ever. If you were listening to any sports talk radio today while you were out delivering, then you know July 4th may not happen. Baseball season in general may not happen. But if, let's just say hypothetically speaking, that they actually had baseball that day, that's also other eyes to take away from that potentially. So again, I get it. I get it, and you're right. It absolutely makes sense. Like, not for nothing, Independence Day, the first one, came out on July 4th. Makes sense, right? It didn't come out, like, October 3rd.
Yeah. You know? I'm just... Mm-hmm. I don't know. That's
I am definitely curious though, because I've heard so much about it, and I've never really had the urge to get tickets for it. I've only seen a couple Broadway plays myself. But for them to for it to come out and everything like that, like I'm definitely down. I'm definitely gonna watch it.
Yeah, I'm gonna watch it. I've seen it already, and I'm gonna watch it.
Mm-hmm.
Because you know what? Like, sure, obviously, yeah, seeing it live, there's something. Here's the thing: you're gonna enjoy this, because you know what? You're gonna be able to watch it on Disney Plus, number one. So you can, mm-hmm, you can stop it, start it, pause it, rewind it, whatever you gotta do. That's number one. Can't do that in real life.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Two, you don't have to wait till intermission to go to the bathroom, because that's the thing that'll kill, mm-hmm, you. I'm like, I gotta.
Oh yeah,
the line, sure, wraps around the theater,
mm-hmm,
especially the men's bathroom. But
oh yeah, and you're not leaving, yeah, early.
So I mean,
it's not like 2 minute warning in football where it's like, all right, maybe it's time to work our way down there.
But so yeah, so I mean, it's, you know, so you get to enjoy in the courtesy of, you know, the privacy of your own home. Stop and start, mm-hmm, it whenever you like, and you get to, mm-hmm, go to the bathroom whenever you like.
Yeah, drinks and snacks, oh, are a lot, yeah, cheaper.
Are you kidding me? You know how much a fucking shirt fucking... Oh my God. I bought, mm-hmm, I bought, mm-hmm, a t-shirt.
Mm-hmm. My guess is probably $50.
Close. It was like in the $40 range.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I was with Jackie at the time. We didn't get...
Sure.
We thought about getting like cocktails. And, mm-hmm, I was like, nah. I think we got water. We got bottles of water, and that was it. Because, you know, as much as I, you know, you want to take it all in and enjoy it, you know, talk about going, mm-hmm, to the bathroom. I was like, I'm not going to, like, break the seal and then have to, like, you're not able to leave because the doors are fucking shut. You can't leave. You got to wait, right, for the doors open, and then, mm-hmm, you can go out to the bathroom like that. So it's like, all right, I'm going to get some water. We'll have drinks after. Mm-hmm. Talk about it. You, yep, know, just kind of, you know, take it all in. And that's what we did. But, sure, but yeah, that shirt is like, sure, the merchandise alone from Hamilton. Fucking through the roof. You want, if you went there, mm-hmm, and legitimate, let's say you got two drinks a person, and then you got like a t-shirt, and you know, then like some bottles of water, you're spending like probably like
$250.
I was gonna say at least $200.
Yeah,
at least $200. That's fucking insane.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's about what it was when I went to go see Lion King. I mean, granted, Lion King was probably 4 or 5 years before that, but I mean, it wasn't much cheaper, and it was right at the height of the popularity when that, right, came out. So you went to go see it pretty much right at the height of popularity when Hamilton was out. So like everything was crazy prices. Now that's when you leave, and like, you know, you're walking, blah blah blah, 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 the next thing, and you see that one guy just trying to make that hustle, like, yo, my man, $20, like,
yeah,
right. You, man, know what I mean?
It's,
like,
it's.
It spells Hamilton with the A's, no, but, you know, it's okay. Like, it's Hamilton.
Yeah, right.
Like, you know, but it's also $20 compared to $45.
I'm not going to lie, because, you know, obviously, I'm, you know, for people who have, you know, never listened to a podcast before, first off, hi, welcome, mm-hmm, Kevin, Bobby, how you doing?
Thank you.
Thanks.
Yep. Thank you for listening.
Rabbit Hole Podcast. Hope you enjoy it. Mm-hmm. I am a Golden State Warrior fan. The NBA team with Golden State, mm-hmm, Warriors. You know?
Yep.
Steph Curry. Big Hamilton fan. Mm-hmm. He's a big Hamilton fan. He, yep, loves that play.
Mm-hmm.
He ended up getting... he had this crazy hat that I guess was merchandise from Hamilton. And it was the first initial of Alexander Hamilton's name. And then just the first three letters of his last name. So the hat, mm-hmm, just says A.Ham, and it's like, you, okay, know, just on a snapback. I saw him wear it the one, mm-hmm, day, and then they have another one for Aaron Burr, so it's A.Burr. Okay. And he wore both, but the A.Ham, it's like this beautiful black like snapback, big like bright. I mean, it's yellow, but I still liked it because I was like, yeah, I could wear that with some stuff, and I was like, that hat's. Mm-hmm. That's fucking dope. And I was, mm-hmm, like, I gotta get this bad boy. I gotta find it. I was like, I gotta, right, find it. And I ended up finding it, and I got it. And not only that, mm-hmm, they messed up the stitching on the back, so it doesn't say I think it says a hip-hop musical. I think mine just says a hip-hop, okay, music. So,
okay.
So, you know, that's gonna be worth some money down the line?
Yeah, if it's authentic and they still fucked it up, absolutely it is. That makes it a lot rarer.
It's like, wait a minute. It says American, you know, it just says a hip-hop music. I was like, yep.
Yep.
Yeah,
who wants it? I'm buying a house.
But I'm trying to see if I can find it. Because I want to see exactly what it said on it. But I feel like I can't find it right now, of course. I'll post a picture of it later.
That could be the cover work for this.
Perhaps. Yeah, absolutely. Anyway,
or to make a special guest appearance behind you in the next IG Live.
That is also very true. That is also very true.
Easter eggs.
No. We'll make that work.
We'll make that work.
Anyway. Mm-hmm. So we were just talking about baseball and baseball's potential return to television and you know, to just sports in general. Let me ask you a question.
Sure.
Have you seen CeCe Sabathia?
Yoked.
What the fuck?
You know what? Not for nothing. Like, and I think we had this, and I'm sure I probably had a rant either on Instagram Live or on the podcast about the meme that I first saw when this quarantine kind of all started. And it was like, remember how you said you would do, and then it was like fill in the blank if you just had more time? Turns out you're just lazy.
Yeah.
CeCe Sabathia is not lazy. All about that life. Now, in fact, when he was playing for the Yankees, he lost a ton of weight, and apparently it affected his knees, and they told him to gain the weight back.
Okay.
So he's capable of this. But, like, that? Stop. Good for him, dude. Because he just had major, like, shoulder surgery or something, too. So whatever that man's doing, give me, like, 30% of that, like, motivation and diet. I'm happy with that. I don't need to be yoked up like that, but good for him.
I mean, I'm looking at some of the, you know, things. Obviously, like what he did, I guess, kind of like lose some of the weight. And it looks like apparently he went vegan, which is part of it. But obviously, clearly, I mean that body isn't just built by vegan. Like he's jacked,
right?
Like he's got muscle.
No, yeah, he's been working.
Yeah, sure. I mean, he's got muscle tone. But yeah, he's. I mean, if you guys, I mean, Google CeCe Sabathia, and the first thing that'll probably come up is weight loss on a Google search, and you could they have side by sides. CeCe Sabathia is a big boy, 6'6". And I mean he easily is probably like, close to 300 pounds.
Oh,
yeah,
easily,
I'm reading this thing right now.
They said he lost over 100 pounds, didn't he? Or something close to it?
He lost, you know, like a Gleyber Torres. You know, like he lost like another Yankee player.
Mm-hmm.
But he had lost weight before. When he got married, he lost some weight. And then I guess he gained some of it back. And now just, you know, he's retired. It's funny because usually when you retire, you would think you take it easy, right?
That's the new trend, though. Like, if you ever look up Joe Thomas was a like an all-pro, like, Hall of Fame lineman for the Cleveland Browns. And he now has a podcast. It's like Joe and Hawk podcast or something like that. Like, I don't listen to the podcast, but I follow him on Twitter. He did keto and lost, like, 85 pounds after he stopped playing. I guess, like, it's kind of coming in reverse now where, like, the fear is you're going to get real fat. So, like, the goal is just, like, immediately just try to shock the world with, like, how much better in shape you can get. Or how much, quote-unquote, more in shape you can get.
Yeah.
So, yeah. That'd be good. Again, be good for him. Like, he looked, and you wouldn't know it if someone didn't say that's his back. That's how absolutely different he looked. Even his face.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. He looks totally, he looks like... You'd have to do a double take. CeCe Sabathia, you know, entire picture of the Yankees, in case anybody, you know, has been living under a rock or is just not familiar. But...
Sure.
But yeah, I mean, you know, good for him. If you're able to, especially in this time where, you know, you're surrounded by nothing but, you know, just making food at home or ordering takeout and just like, you know, just having drinks and, you know, just doing all that, being able to look like that in a time like this, good for you. Because a lot of people, like, you know, you try to work out at home as best you can. You try to, you know, one, try to order any type of equipment online. You'll see it in a month. Right. So that already deters people from ordering stuff. They're like, because I wanted to get some weights. I was like, oh, you know, maybe I'll just get a couple sets of weights. Maybe like some 10-pound weights and maybe like some 15s. You know, maybe just something light, like nothing like crazy, just to kind of maintain. Yeah. I do have weights here, but they're like 7-pound weights. Mm-hmm. But you know what? I'm making the shits fucking work, because, you know, 10-pound weights are, you know, I won't get those bad boys till fucking end of June, you know. So
I think you can do curbside with dicks sporting.
Yeah, but I've looked at like Dick's Sporting Goods. Like, I know what you're saying, and
right
that mm-hmm. shit's on back order, like hard, hardcore. Because everybody's thinking like I'm thinking. Everybody's thinking like, you know, I'll go over. Like, there are times where I'll look on Target and it'll say that they have weights in stock, and you go there and they're not there. Mm-hmm. I was like, you need to update your fucking website, Target. You know what I mean?
Right.
I'm like,
right.
I drove all the way here for nothing. And then I'll be like,
well, the shitty thing too is like a lot of them, it's like some of the stuff too is like, it says it's in stock, but it's only available via delivery. Like, they don't actually carry it in the store.
Yeah, no, and
like, I've had to look for random things for, like, my niece and nephew and gone searching up and down aisles and being like, what the fuck? And then I look on my phone and I'm like, oh.
Yeah, but the thing is, with Target, with some Target locations, it'll say that it's in stock. It'll tell you what aisle it's in. Yeah.
Oh, no shit. Okay, I know Home Depot.
So, like, literally, like, I go to the aisle. I go looking for the thing, and there's just an empty spot on the shelf. And I'm like, fuck is this? Yeah.
Thanks, Target.
You know? I'm like, don't trust Target. In terms of looking for weights right now,
in terms of their inventory,
I wouldn't, you know, don't count on
it. Right.
I'm glad that they're open in this time of need, but, you know,
sure.
Look, if you need to get like sanitizer wipes, I recommend getting there right when they open, because I did that the other day, and your people are only allowed to purchase one. And
did they have it where someone was actually physically?
No, they actually had it on a shelf.
Okay.
I went to the closest Target by us is by the one by the Parkway. So I went to that one.
Yep.
They opened it. It was Sunday morning too, because I was like, all right, usually Sunday circulars, sales, yada yada. They have to have some level of mm-hmm. this here. That's my thing.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, I wake up super early. I, you know, go, I get a coffee, I drive over, and it's about 7:30 in the morning. And there's people actually outside of Target at 7:30 in the morning.
Yep.
And I'm like,
sure.
Yep. It's not a lot of people, but there's still enough people.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm sitting in my car, I'm just like, you know, waiting. And then I'm like, it's like 7:45-ish now, like close to 7:50. And I'm starting mm-hmm. to see people getting out of their cars to walk in the line. And I was like, all right, I gotta do this now.
Yeah.
Get in line, mm-hmm. literally. They open, you know, they open the door at 8 a.m. Everybody is heading for the exact same place.
It's supermarket. Yeah, it's supermarket.
And everybody just, we like, the entire line of people were all in one aisle. Mm-hmm. Social distancing my ass. But
it's why I've seen some Targets actually do it where, like, you're almost waiting in a secondary line from what you've gotten into the store. And they have one person standing there just handing you one. And it's almost like you do it almost like a circular pattern. So that way then you're not really crisscrossing, which is why a lot of like supermarkets, Walmarts, Targets, places like that have all done the one-way aisles, which nobody adheres to like they should. But yeah, I've seen that up in the area where I work, because I service Target for my job. And I'll see, like, exact same thing you said, the 7:30 in the morning, people are getting out there. Like Costco, forget about it. They're out there at like 7 and the place is wrapped around the parking lot. But yeah, they tend to have disinfectant spray pretty well too.
Are you talking about Costco?
No.
Okay. Cause I haven't seen disinfectant spray. Wipes I was able to get. I did not see any when I went there. So at least this particular one.
And here's something for you. here's something for you too. There's always gonna be a little bit of liquid left at the bottom of that canister from those sanitizing wipes. Just throw a roll of toilet paper or paper towel in.
That's true. Yeah, that's true. I mean, I've read things online how to make your own like disinfected like wipes and things like that. Mm-hmm. Think, and that's all well and good. But the thing is, you need to the combination of like it's like one part bleach and like four parts water. And the problem is like the things I want to wipe things down. I don't want the bleach to stain it. So I'm like no, right, yeah, so I'm gonna see if I can find wipes. So yeah, I went to Target, gotten waited in line, walked right in with everybody else. Grabbed my roll of sanitizer wipes, got in the long-ass line, paid for them, got in my car, drove to another Target because I know that they just opened, did the exact same thing, and then got another roll of sanitizer wipes and then left.
If you're ever around Walgreens, I think it's Thursdays. They get their trucks in. If you go like midday, sometimes you'll find them there too. Because the trucks don't come like overnight. They tend to come during the receiving hours during the day. And then you have their employees putting the stock out. So like you'll see them there too. Like just doing my job, like I've learned kind of when trucks show up to different places. Okay. So I can kind of determine if I'm in the area where I can pop into real quick and find something if I need it, if
that makes sense.
So like the disinfectant spray. I mean, granted, for myself personally, I get most of it from work because I'm still
right.
every day. But like, just for anybody who else who needs them or something like that, like those are definitely places or times to look and stuff like that. Like, it seems like outside of meat, it seems like most places have caught up, at least toilet paper wise, produce wise. Meat for the most part. I mean, there's a little bit of scarcities here or there, but but a lot of places have put in limits for it, so that way you can't hoard it too much. If it does come down to that, but yeah, that's kind of it's a lot, man. It's definitely a lot. Like, it's funny because like we were talking about like trying to stay in shape or whatever else. But like you read like different psychological articles and like there's legit stuff about just like stress eating.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? You're not stress eating broccoli. Yeah. You know what I mean? Like, you're stress eating pints of Ben and Jerry's. Yeah. Like, I've done it. You know what I mean? Like, you stress eating like a half a bag of potato chips or something like that. Like, it's tough, man. It's definitely tough.
I was going to say, I crushed a bag of Tostitos the other day.
Nice. With the
pico de gallo salsa spicy. From Trader Joe's. Yeah.
Yes.
Crushed.
Yes. Yes. That stuff will absolutely do you right.
Yeah. I was just like, this is, I don't necessarily know if it was stress more than, just being like, oh, this is good and I don't want to stop.
Yeah. So, not necessarily stress, but just possible lack of willpower.
In that moment in time, There are moments where, I try to eat healthy. I've been buying a lot more stuff and cooking at home, but there are the moments where I was like, I'm going to McDonald's and I'm getting a double quarter pounder with cheese.
Nice.
Don't go to White Castle because the White Castle, every White Castle I go to is like fucking closed. Well, at least there used to be I like to call it the restaurant row, where this one street at one end is Wendy's, at the other end is Burger King, and everything in between is you name it, it's there. In terms of Italian, Mexican, bunch of fast food restaurants, just they're all. And back in the day, like there's a period of time where 24-hour fast food. I feel like that's maybe a fairly newer idea within the last maybe 10, 15 years. And I'm not talking about fucking like going to Chicken and Pizza or you going to a Kennedy Fried Chicken.
Right.
Those motherfuckers don't close.
Right.
But you
right. They don't have locks.
But you go to places like that.
You want to talk about a strong plexiglass game? Go to one of them chicken spots. That's not plexiglass, my friend. That's
yeah, bold. You could tell because
and there are cracks.
Yeah, you could tell because you could go there. You could see where somebody attempted to.
Right.
you can see the bullet hole, the residual bullet hole that is there because somebody tried to test it.
Yo, whole new meaning to risk it for the biscuit.
Like, it's just
shit.
You just see it there as just like mm-hmm. as a cold hard reminder. It was like, yeah, this shit ain't coming down easy.
Right. Like, dude, not for nothing. And like, this is not to be the old like get off my lawn guy or anything like that. But like, I still remember that there were points in time where me and you would be out drinking and it would be 1:30 and it was like, fuck, if you want insert fast food restaurant here, you gotta go now. And so you would actually have to leave before the last call to get to a McDonald's, a Wendy's for quote unquote fourth meal, Taco Bell or something like that. To be able to get, again, you're right. Chicken spots were always open. White Castle was always open, but not for nothing. You could sober up by the time you got through that drive-thru. Like that place, that was an hour and a half. But like, yeah, I mean, think about it now. All right, I'm drunk and I want food. Well, you know what? I was smart and I didn't drive, so I took an Uber home. Uber Eats, and they'll bring you McDonald's or Chipotle.
It depends on
and you know,
if they're open. It depends on the time of night. But for the most part, yes, you are correct.
Yeah, you know what I mean. Like we're driving down some shady ass road to go. Yeah. You know what I mean? To go to the one open McDonald's that stayed open till 3 o'clock in the morning, and the bar closed at 2.
And then
so,
White Castle had opened up closer to where we were, and I was like, all right, White Castle. Mm-hmm. And then McDonald's came out and just fucked it all up.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, well, mm-hmm. if I'm going to eat shitty fast food, I might as well eat the best version of shitty fast food. McDonald's is. McDonald's was the hot blonde that like came into town, you know, at that point.
Yeah, oh, absolutely. Right. Her and her seductive arches.
You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. So like, you know, McDonald's is like the hot chick that just like came into town. It's just like, all right,
mm-hmm.
sorry, White Castle. I gotta kick you to the curb.
Well, This is how old this memory is. And I don't even understand how I still have it. But I still remember me and you going to Wild Wednesdays in Abyss every Wednesday. And the way I would drive us back to drop you off at your spot, we always passed the White Castle. That was how I always knew exactly what the hell I did Thursday morning when I woke up and there were like little White Castle and like or like the little burger.
The little like cardboard like because they put them in a little cardboard, thing, like the cutout cardboard, like little squares. And it always...
Yeah. And then we would go to the gym the next day and be like, all right, well, how many are you working
on
today?
And those things, and then you just, well, you know, one or two of those, you just sit in your car and just, you go to your car the next day, you're like, oh my God, what is that?
Oh, yeah. What did I do? Yeah. It was the drunk text before it was the drunk text. It was like,
it's like one of the worst smells ever. And every once in a while, like, you know, especially mm-hmm. work, like, you know, I still work in restaurants and bars, at least, you know, for now, you know, mm-hmm. you know, mm-hmm. pre-quarantine. And, you know, people, we'd have managers, friends of ours, drop off, like, crave cases of friggin' White Castle at, like, 3 o'clock in the morning. Because they knew that we were done, we were sitting there, we're counting our money. And then it's like, I'm like, I didn't want to, but you know what happens? Camaraderie, you're having a couple drinks after work. Sure. You know what? That White Castle's starting to smell pretty good. Until the next morning when you wake up and there's like five of those little boxes next to your bed and you're like, what happened? You know? Supposedly the reason that White Castle, this is a rumor, I don't know if it's true, I don't know if it's factual, but supposedly like the reason like when you eat a White Castle burger and then you feel like absolute like ass the next morning, supposedly it's the pickles. That's the rumor that I heard. Supposedly they use a very poor grade of pickle. And a lot of times the burger, you know, all the burgers have pickles on them. They use like a grade F pickle. Supposedly.
Of all the things to shrimp on.
So that was the rumor I always heard. So when I heard that, anytime I would get burgers, I'd get them with no pickles. And I don't know if it was a placebo effect, but I did feel like I felt a little bit better the next day.
Yeah, I got. Again, that's all. That's the thing they skimp on, because like not for nothing. As crazy as it is, and as much as we've always kind of made fun of it or whatever, apparently they've always had pretty high ratings for like cleanliness, which I don't really quite understand. And apparently, like, the way they cook their burgers, which is on a bed of onions, is supposed to be, like, quote-unquote revolutionary. I don't know. Okay. Again, to me, it was drunk food when I came home from Abyss.
Not to judge books by covers here, but, I mean, in terms of, like, you know, people that are working at White Castle, like, they're probably not in the happiest of, you know, mindsets working at a place like White Castle. But probably they, you know, but the boss is like, you better scrub down that fucking toilet, you know? Mm-hmm. They're all mad as hell, but they're cleaning the fuck out of the place. You know what I mean? Like, they're just like, I fucking hate this guy. You know, they're scrubbing away at, you know, a fucking, you know, toilet bowl. But, you know, I feel like I feel like there's a certain, you know, caliber of person that works at a White Castle.
Oh yeah. And it's not usually someone who's very happy with their meal choices. You know, like, don't get me wrong, they make a tasty ass burger once you're drunk and you can't taste anything, but you know, next day, whoo, buddy.
I didn't mean to cut you off. But obviously, because, you know, to transition, you know, because you're talking about, you know, you're going out at night, you know, when the bars were open, when the clubs were open, you know, that whole lifestyle, you know, that you and I used to live. I still kind of do, but, you know, it's different now.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Apparently now, because obviously with pandemic, with COVID-19, quarantine life, obviously everybody's cooking more at home. Everybody's trying to work out. Everything you're doing in the home now. You work from home. You're trying to cook the best of your ability. You're trying to just stay at home as much as possible. Are you drinking a beer? Uh-huh. Oh, okay. I thought I heard like a crack of a can open.
No, I was closing my iPad.
I was like, yeah, he's cracking it. I was like, okay. All right. No, I'm saying I'm not at it.
On a school night?
Yeah, come on.
We started talking about bars and clubs. Like when we started talking about a piss, I got sleepy. I was like, oh, man, it's 10 o'clock already?
So,
like, shit.
So, obviously, now with everybody doing everything from home, you know, obviously, you can't go to the bars. So, you're going out. You're getting your beer. You're getting your wine. You know, your Tito's vodka. Whatever it is you want to indulge in. And people are just buying it and obviously having it at home. Some people are having it more than others. On a more regular basis than they were in the past, because obviously, you know, you're home and there's not much to do. So in terms of people doing the sympathy eating thing and, you know, that, I'm sure the drinking also is a thing as well. But the website, I made a post about it, the Daily Meal. They did a breakdown of the 50 states. Everybody's quarantined. What's the number one drink that people are looking up how to make? And in New York and in New Jersey, it's the same drink.
Okay.
The Manhattan.
Why?
That, according to the poll of what they, you know, what they researched, that is the drink that everybody's looking up how to make. I think, I mean, here's the thing. It's different. It's different from state to state. You know, there's some states where it's like, it's the hurricane. Sure. And then there's other states where it's like, it's an old fashioned, you know, in terms of why is the Manhattan, you know, honestly, I will factor it this way. Because you know what? In terms of New York and in terms of New Jersey, the rise of the hipster is so evident.
Have they drank every IPA?
Well, here's the thing. This is about a cocktail. This is a cocktail, like, look up, like, how to make things. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. This isn't like, what's the number one beer that you're drinking from state to state? It's the drink that people are looking up the most to make. So
okay. I mean, I can get you know? That. I don't know. See, like, I figured it might have transitioned by now because I feel like an old fashioned, at least to me anyway, and maybe. It's because, like, me and Chuck always used to, like, kind of joke about this. Like, summertime is always clear alcohols and you know, fall and winter were always the browns. So, like, you know, your bourbons, your scotches, your whiskeys, even maybe to a certain degree, your rums or whatever, your dark, your spiced rums or whatever. And then summertime came, your vodkas, your tequilas, if you're into gin, stuff like that. I feel like, I mean, granted, this, the real lockdown and everything probably what happened last week in March, like, I would say. It wasn't hardly cold, you know? So, like, why not switch to something else? Why not switch to the Moscow Mule? Why not, you know, or something else more springish, if you will. You know, like the gin and tonic with the Hendrix or something else. Like, why the old fashioned now? Old fashioned October, November, December, January. Yeah, I could see that.
Well, I'll tell you this.
Mm-hmm.
In Alabama, the hurricane is the drink that people are looking up how to make. In Alaska, it's the whiskey sour. In Arizona, it's the Paloma.
Okay. Do you know how to make the Paloma? Wait, is the Paloma Spanish, or Latin drink with the rim?
I mean, depending on where you go, you know, they'll rim it. I mean, think about it like this. It's essentially, it's a tequila-based cocktail with grapefruit juice, lime, and club soda. If you could find a place that has grapefruit club soda, they usually use that. Palomas are actually very good. A little bit of orange liqueur in there, and maybe like a triple sec or something like that. They're actually very. If you're a grape juice person, if you like grape juice, you'll like a Paloma.
Grape juice or grapefruit juice? Ah, okay. If it's fresh squeezed, yeah, I'm down with it.
You know, or like some Simply Grapefruit or something like that.
Like a ground.
But yeah. Yeah. But I mean, like, yeah. going across. Yeah, see, I'm looking at like state to state, and I'm trying to figure out if mm-hmm. depending on the location of the state, has anything to do with the style of drink that is the favorite. Because Florida is the Cuba Libre.
Makes sense. But like the whiskey sour to me makes no sense in Alaska.
Oh, Illinois is also the Manhattan.
I wonder if that has anything to do then with states or surrounded by or within close proximity to a major state.
That's also what I'm thinking. Massachusetts is an old fashioned. I feel like you're starting to figure out like
Boston.
Michigan is a cosmopolitan. That's interesting. Mississippi, a painkiller.
Why all of a sudden does Michigan want to get banned?
Montana, a blue Hawaiian. Nebraska, an old fashioned. Nevada, the grasshopper. That's very interesting. That's the drink of choice that people are looking up how to make.
One knows it's like green.
Yeah, it's like dessert. You know, it's green cream of mint, white cream, ripe cream of cocoa. And fresh cream, so a lot of times probably like a half and half. But I mean, you know, I'm sure there's variations to all of these drinks. But I mean, I think, it's the top search drink in New York. Yeah, Manhattan. Well, I guess New York makes sense because it's Manhattan, right? Now New Jersey,
right? Yeah,
I guess because you know New Jersey is you know. Essentially, depending on parts of New Jersey,
that are considered,
it's essentially, you know, it's a suburb of like, yeah, you know, New York City, you know. But old fashioned pops up a few times. A whiskey sour from Pennsylvania.
Okay, again, like
also, I'm going to say that I don't think there's any rhyme or reason as to, you know, why certain states are looking up, you know, certain things, but. But it's just old fashioned pops up a lot, actually. Old fashioned's the one that you know what I you know you can blame old fashioned on fucking Mad Men. Mad Men brought that drink back from the grave, in my opinion.
I agree. No, yeah.
Virginia, old fashioned. Washington State, old fashioned. Washington D.C., old fashioned.
I wonder if people are just binge watching shows and going, oh, I want a drink from that, and then being like, I don't know how to make that. Do you know how to make that? No.
I mean, it's something as simple as that. But I also know because where we are and where we live, and there's and you know, pretty much like, you know, there's a lot of bars, there's a lot of restaurants, and a lot of these places now are starting to you know, just like with everything, style is cyclical. So I feel like now all the like super sugary drinks, as popular as they may be in the warm months, you know, summer months, I feel like everybody wants to go back to the classics, go back to the originals, you know, and a Manhattan and an Old Fashioned. And I'm trying to think, you know, like Sazerac. Like, I feel like all of these, like, you know, prohibition style cocktails, they're all slowly coming back to the surface. Actually, they're not even come back. They're here. They're on the surface. They're walking around, you know.
Now, that's something kind of interesting that you just touched on, the fact of, like, prohibition, like, doing something you're not supposed to do, like, kind of, I don't know if you can necessarily, how you could fit that in, per se, with, you know, a semi-mandatory quarantine, you know, like, I don't quite know how it fits in, but I feel
there are people trying to make their own beer, trying to make their own spirits. There are definitely people out there that are trying to, you know, figure that out. You know, that there's kits on how to make
I've seen those.
You know, but like, I can imagine that there are kits out there on how to make your own booze, you know. Because, you know, because you know what? You never know. There, God forbid, you know, something, you know, happens to the liquor industry. And next thing you know. I feel like there's two industries. And I guess we'll end it on that. I feel like there's like two industries that are maybe, you know, knock on wood, quarantine, or I should say, you know, they're like pandemic proof. I feel like there's two industries that just like, it doesn't matter if there's a pandemic, they're not gonna disappear. They're not gonna close.
Okay.
Just the production of just spirits, alcohol, you know, just those companies that produce, you know, spirits. And I know there's a couple of them. I think like Pernod's a big one. I'm trying to think. There's another one that makes like a bunch of other spirits, like Jameson and all that. Like all those companies that make these spirits, like they make the whiskeys, the rums, the, you know, the vodkas. I feel like those, they ain't going anywhere. Pandemic or not, they're not going anywhere.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Just like the liquor industry as a whole. It's pandemic proof. It ain't going nowhere. And pornography.
Oh yeah. Are you kidding me? You know how
those two industries are not going anywhere.
I can only imagine. Well, now the big thing apparently are like, you know, like the stay at home moms, or like the parents doing like I don't know, what is it, like premium Snapchats, or like other types of like amateur pornography that like you see all over the place. Like people are, a lot of it, I'm assuming, is probably just out of necessity. You know what I mean? Like, I mean, I don't, because that's the thing to me. I was like, I don't know, like professionally, how could you still shoot porn if you can't really congregate with people? Like that takes the entire gangbang segment completely
They have ways around that, you know. People are all in there. They're all wearing their masks. They're all wearing their PPE masks, and they're wearing their latex gloves.
But there's one person who's not.
I just feel like those are the two industries that are going to be just fine throughout this whole thing. They have that meme where it's like, it shows like the meme, it's a side by side, and it shows like an old computer from like the 1980s, and it's like the unemployment, you know, database, you know, the, you know, unemployment US unemployment database. It's like a fucking old school fucking Apple computer from the 80s, dusty black with, like, screen,
on it,
green like letters and numbers, looks like the Matrix fucking binary code. And then it's just like the pornography database, like it just shows like walls and walls of tech, like from one end to the other to the horizon.
Right.
It's just tech. It looks like that part in Ocean's 11 where they break into the
terabytes
it's just like they break into the computer mainframe. They put that little bug in there, you know. Like it's like side by side. It's just like, you know what, kind of, they kind of nailed it.
That's right. Yeah. that's point of
you know, they kind of nailed it. So I just feel like those two industries are not going anywhere.
Yeah.
Diageo was another company that I couldn't think of. I was like, yeah, okay. I know. I'm like, why can't I think of it? Diageo and Pernod. And I feel like those are the two big ones. I feel like between the two of those, they make virtually everything. You know?
Okay.
But I feel like, I feel like in terms of, you know, liquor distribution is going to be good. And same with pornography distribution. It's gonna be good. You know.
You have time for
one more. I thought I was keeping you. I was like, yeah. And I was like, okay. Yeah.
No.
More.
Let's
more one more time. I always have, and you know, maybe I don't know if you notice this. I always have in my notepad. I always have a bunch of things to talk about, and I have like the little bubbles with the little check mark. And then when we do it, I like check it off.
Mm-hmm.
So there's always stuff at the end that I didn't check off. And I'm like, we'll either bring it up on a later date, or maybe it just gets, you know, just like whatever, it is what it is. Or, you know.
Okay, well, let me ask you this then. Do you want to go one more segment, or do you want to just cap it?
We can keep it going. I'm good.
Did you hear about a wanted Entourage spinoff.
A wanted Entourage spinoff. Like, people are demanding it.
Mm-hmm.
I have not. What? Tell me about it.
Apparently, I've been seeing it on Barstool the past couple days. Apparently, Jeremy Piven is campaigning to have an Ari Gold spinoff. And apparently, people are about it.
I mean, I am. I would be nervous about that in terms of the climate has changed. And a Jeremy Piven style character, I don't like, is this Ari Gold now? Or is this Ari Gold like in the past? Or like, is this a, you know what I mean? Like, that would be the other, that would, I guess, be the follow up question. It's like Ari Gold Entourage spinoff. I'm all about it. When does it take place? Are we pinpointing this when his rise is becoming like the super agent that he became in the Entourage TV show? Or is this
that would be my assumption. I did not actually watch the videos of it. I was just scrolling through Twitter and it was something that I saw. And it was something that reminded me that I wanted to talk to you about because it was something that I've seen the past like day or two. And I just haven't gotten around to actually like clicking on the link and seeing what it is, but apparently, like, he's campaigning hard for Mark Wahlberg to produce because Mark Wahlberg was the producer.
Well, him and Peter Berg. Peter Berg was the other guy that pretty much it was Mark Wahlberg, Peter Berg, because they did, after they did Entourage and they did Entourage movie, they did Ballers, which I think is in its final season, if not, so
I watched, I think, like, the first couple seasons of Ballers, I like The Rock. I like the premise. I like the whole thing. I was like, I couldn't get into it. Like, they had the one guy who was trying to be Yardgold.
That's the thing. The thing about the Ballers TV show, and I remember reading early reviews about it, and I watched a couple episodes. It's very Entourage-like. Mm-hmm. There's a turtle.
Right.
There's a Vinny. There's an Ari Gold.
Right.
There's a, you know what I mean? Like, every character from Entourage is in the show Ballers just as like played by like another character. And like, they try to put their own little spin on it. You know? But it's just like, and don't get me wrong, I liked it. I didn't watch it, but, you know, I did enjoy it, you know? But I haven't watched like all the episodes. They had a couple of marathons. They have like a couple of marathons of the show every once in a while. And like, I'll catch like two or three episodes, but I'm like so haven't, you know, followed it from season one. I watched all season one, and then after that, I kind of fell off.
Yeah, I don't think you missed a ton. So, it was okay. I gave it a shot because, exactly like you said, you know, give me the Entourage formula, and let's see if we can make another hit.
I mean, listen, I'm all for an Entourage spinoff. You know what I mean? Let's do it. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Do a present day Entourage spinoff for all I care. Do another season. I don't know. But
Well, no, I think he was just talking about just doing
it. I mean, Ari Gold was just like such a... I mean, he won like fucking like awards for that character, you know? I mean...
Yeah. Yeah. And I... That... Just the amount of misogyny alone, I don't know that you could get through in today's society.
I mean, here's the thing. I mean, there are some shows that you watch... That you watch now... You know, like your scope changes, like your mindset changes. Something that you watch in 2020, like you watch things now with like the scope of like the climate now. So like everything that we watch now is with 2020 eyes, you know, the year 2020. Mm-hmm. So if you go back and watch, like for me, like going back and like watching Sopranos and knowing the time frame of when Sopranos came out and some of the stuff that they said and a lot of the stuff that they said and the actions. The misogyny, the, you know, just like the racial slurs, you know,
over
just like
racism.
Now I understand to a certain degree, like these characters are from a time frame, are from a certain walk of life where, you know what, that's kind of like the norm. So I watch it with that understanding.
Mm-hmm.
But I also watch it with like, Agreed. Yeah, this is in 1997. You ain't going to be able to get away with this shit now.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, even watch old Chris Rock stand up. You'd be amazed at some of the stuff he says that you're like, yo, he is not saying that anymore. There's a lot of comedians that are like that. Nope. I mean, Kevin Hart got flack for you know, bringing up like stuff like, you know, talking about his, like, you know, he doesn't want his son to be gay. And he got into a lot of, he somehow, I don't know how, he danced his way out of that scenario because everybody kind of was just like, all right, you know, we forgive Kevin Hart. He could have been in a really bad shape. And he got into that car accident, so I know that a lot of that helped. But I mean, I know he went on the apology tour, he went on Ellen, you know, he did what he had to do. He actually has a show on Netflix, and I think it's called Kevin Hart Don't Fuck This Up. And part of the whole thing when, you know, he got in trouble because he was supposed to host the Oscars. And then, you know, people brought up all the, you know, you know, old footage of him, you know, pretty much like just like, you know, gay bashing. And they're like, yeah, we don't want this guy hosting the Oscars. But
was that the first year that the Oscars went hostless?
No, I feel like they've gone hostless before. But I feel like I feel like now that's become more of a trend now. Now it's almost like a thing. You know? But yeah, I mean you watch certain things now, like with 2020 eyes, that like, you know, you're like, all right, look, that was then, this is now. So when you watch like old things, you almost have to watch it with the mindset of like, all right, look, that was back when, you know, you could say shit like this. You can't say shit like this now. You know. And that's not even saying I'm just saying that was back when, you know, things that people said in the 80s. You ain't saying now in 2020. You know, things you said maybe 2 or 3 years ago, you're not saying now. You know, certain jokes, certain things. Things just kind of get, you know, fall by the wayside. You're like, all right, yeah, I'm not saying that no more. There might have been a thing I said maybe like 2 or 3 years ago. I realize this shit's not cool anymore. I'm not trying to offend anybody. And I know somebody I know somebody that would be offended by this.
Sure.
So I'm not saying that. Or I'm not going to do that action. Mm-hmm. Or I'm not going to, you know, blah, blah. That's what I would hope people do. I know some people just don't give a fuck and they'll just say it anyway. But, you know, that's...
Sure. Right. Well, but it's the age old, you know, it's because it's the way it's always been done. Well, that's not necessarily really a good reason to keep doing it going forward. But, yeah, no, I saw that and I was like, you know what? Like, that would be awesome, because I loved his character for what it was. Again, taking it in the under the eyes of 1998, 1999, 2000, or whatever it was, you know, the crass, fast talking, whatever it was. Now, yes, you could not get away with a lot of those things, and probably some of those jokes might not be funny anymore. So like thinking on it now, I'm like, I don't necessarily, because I wouldn't be satisfied either way, I don't think. If they went back and did it completely the way that his character was, okay, there might be some things funny that they'd be like, I don't know if I should be laughing at this. Like, yeah, this isn't really right. And then if they don't do it and they do it to a more sensitive aspect. I mean, like, this is when we are gold.
I think
I don't want this. So, like, you're almost damned if you do, damned if you don't.
If they were to, hypothetically, if they were going to do this,
mm-hmm.
they would have to address his character and the way he is, and somehow have him somehow try to find a way to not be that style of person. Like, it would have to be him, you know, it would mm-hmm. have to, the show would have to start with him just being in therapy. You know what I mean? Just him talking to a therapist, right. or him in some sort of AA meeting or something like that. Like, you know, just like with a bunch right. of people that, you know, that are worse than him. And he realizes that he's like, I'm bad, but right. I'm not that bad. Like, he'd have to be in like an AA meeting or some sort of anonymous meeting with like a bunch of like people that are like racist and like skinheads and whatever like that, or just like right. the worst type of people. Mm-hmm. He's like, look, I know mm-hmm. I'm not that bad. You know.
Right.
But it would have to be yeah. it would have to have some level of like, all right, look, we know he says like wild shit, but he's actually like a good guy down, you know, in his core. He just says like very terrible things.
So it'd have to be a little bit more of like a come to Jesus moment.
Yeah.
Right, you know, because you can see throughout his character that he slowly almost, I guess, learned yeah. content in some way. You know, some of his actions and the way he kind of grew through it. And I guess you could say even to a certain degree within the movie, he toned down a little bit, if you're, you know, not much. So yeah, again, just in order to be able to even survive in this climate. The only way, and I think we've talked about this before with like Game of Thrones, the only way you can really get away with just like the most obscene shit is to literally make up an entire world.
Yeah.
Like Game of Thrones. Yeah. You know what I mean? Or some other type of like post-apocalyptic type, you know, Walking Dead type thing. Even that was like AMC. It wasn't even on premium cable, or like a paper right. channel, if you will, I guess. So, but to be able to just be like, okay, Westeros, fine.
Yeah.
You can sleep with your brother. Los Angeles, probably can't sleep with your brother.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, so, I don't know. It was just something I saw. It was just something that I thought, that I guess I thought about. Kind of curious to see maybe what your take was on it and see what your thoughts were. Like, again, I kind of feel like I'm stuck between a rock and a hard place. Like, I would love it if it came back out. But then again, I might kind of reassess, like, kind of like what you were saying in terms of why I found this funny to begin with. And then if it comes out and it's just way too soft and it's way too muted and understated, I'm gonna be like, ah, this wasn't what I wanted. So again, you know what I mean? You're kind of damned if you do.
If it's done well, which I believe it could be done well, then I think you watch it and be like, okay, I got it. But it's just, you know, and I feel like, you know, there are people out there that are, you know, probably smarter than us that are figuring out a way to do this. Not offend
sure.
everybody, and also have like make mm-hmm. some level of a successful show,
some edge to it.
Because obviously, one, right. I mean, you know, the other mm-hmm. thing with that is too is like, one, you're not showing this at 8 o'clock at night. You're showing right. yeah, you're showing this is 10 p.m. at 9, maybe 10 p.m. and mm-hmm. also it's going to be on a premium channel that not everybody's going to have access to. You know, so I mean,
right?
It's mm-hmm. gonna, you know, and then obviously, and then obviously,
yeah, I'm guessing,
and then obviously,
this
that's what your rating system is for. You know what I mean? It's just like the first start, you, when you start the show, mm-hmm. and it says that it's TVMA, and it shows like violence, adult language, graphic this, blah 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 blah, like your favorite Game of Thrones episode. That's when you knew it was a good one, when it checked all the boxes right. of a Game of Thrones episode, where it was just like Game of yeah. Thrones, it's like TVMA, and it's just like violence, adult content, graphic like violence, nudity, you know, strong mm-hmm. sexual content. I was like, oh, this is gonna be a good one.
Right. And for the most part, it lived up to every single aspect yeah. of that. It was like nudity check, yeah. violence check, graphic violence.
Literally, they would just throw check. Stuff in there to it was like, well, it said that it was gonna be in the show, so we just put it in there. Like they would just show him in, just like scratching his like dick, you know, like on camera. Like, just like, what?
Yeah, right.
Yeah, it's just like, just no reason even. You didn't even need it. It did nothing to the dialogue. It just showed a man just right. like scratching his penis, like up close too.
It checked the box.
Yeah, it was like, well, you know, we did say there was gonna be nudity on this episode. I was like, fair enough. fair enough, Game of Thrones.
Right.
You know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Adult content. Fair enough.
Alright. I was like, well played, D.B. Weiss. Alright. Well played.
Yeah, right. You know?
Mm-hmm. Well, anyway, I guess this time my phone is actually on 20%, so, you know, my phone is telling me, it's like, all right, you know what, like,
you got it.
It's like, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I know, right? Sorry,
say something for the Instagram live.
What do you want me to do? So, all right, let's get up out of here. There's a couple things that, you know, sure. I did want to touch on, but I guess we could do that for the IG live on Saturday. Yeah, so, you know,
okay.
Thank you guys for listening. I'm gonna do my best to upload this tonight, so you know people can listen to it tomorrow morning and tomorrow afternoon.
Sounds good.
So thank you guys for listening again. This is Kevin at Kevin K. Diddy.
Bobby at R.
This is the Hair of the Blog presents the Rabbit Hole Podcast at Hair of the Blog on all social media. Thank you guys for listening. Give us a follow, give us a like, give us a comment, and we'll see you guys soon. See you guys.